Just going to share briefly from Luke chapter 22 before we partake of communion together. In Luke chapter 22, verse 14, it says, When the hour had come, he reclined at the table, the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you that I shall never eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup, he gave thanks. He said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread, he gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup, which after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed the Son of Man is going, as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who is going to do this thing. And as I read this passage, actually this morning in preparation, I read all three accounts of Jesus instituting what we call communion or the Lord's Supper, the taking of bread and wine or grape juice in our case, to remember him. He says to do it in remembrance of me. And there's two things that come out in all of these accounts, and I thought it was interesting, and I'm not going to dive deep, I'm not going to really talk about specifically what the bread and the juice today, but an aspect of this account that is in all of them, which is in all three, Jesus says to his apostles, he says, I'm not going to drink of the fruit of the vine or wine. I'm not going to partake of this again until the kingdom of God comes. And it seems like a trivial point. I'll be honest, I've never really focused on it much, but it's in all three accounts. And each of the authors of these letters were, by the Holy Spirit, prompted to write this phrase that Jesus said. And I was reflecting, what is that saying? What is this about? And in my view, Jesus is talking about the fact, he's telling his disciples, listen, this taking of wine, and what is this taking of wine? What is it about? And I sort of was reflecting, and to me, the taking of wine as we see it in the Gospels, it's about fellowship. Like, it's happening at meals. He's sharing these meals with his apostles. And they're partaking of wine and fellowshipping. It's also about celebration. We saw it in the wedding of Cana. In the wedding of Cana, there's that miracle. Well, Jesus turns the water into wine. They were running out, and Jesus turns the water into wine. So there's this fellowship and this celebration that Jesus says, I am not going to partake of this again until the kingdom of God comes. And you can reflect on what that means, but I'm going to share today. He's saying, I am not going to partake of wine again until I come to you again in the fulfillment of my kingdom, the second coming of Christ. He says, what blessing it is to partake of it in this way with you guys, I'm not having it again until I come to you again from heaven in my return. And what is that intended to prompt us? Is it intended to say, wow, this drinking of wine must be really great? No. What prompted in my heart was Jesus, an image of Jesus looking forward to coming again. Jesus is looking forward to coming back to us. That's why I think he makes this statement. It's an emphasis. It's intending to give something to his disciples to say, when I go, because they're going to see him leave, and I don't believe the kingdom came, like the kingdom of God came in power when the Holy Spirit came, but I don't think it's talking about that. Jesus left, he went to heaven, He ascended in the clouds, and he said, you'll see me coming to you again in the same way I left. Same way he left in the clouds physically, he will return from the clouds physically. And at that time, he will again partake of the fruit of the vine. And not in some sort of looking forward to drinking wine, but rather looking forward to have that reunion of fellowship again that he had here, that is, that in essence there is a separation. And we ourselves, the scripture commands and instructs us to look forward to the return of the Lord, to hasten it with our lives. And Jesus himself, I took from this that Jesus himself is saying, I am looking forward to returning to you guys again. I am looking forward to that time when I come again and we can partake of this meal together again in my kingdom. And why do I emphasize this? Because it says we do this in remembrance of him. But in Corinthians, I'm not going to go there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul gives instructions to the Corinthians about the taking of communion, he says, we are to remember the Lord's death until he comes. It's both. It's a remembering what he's done, but also there's an element of looking forward to him coming again. And I think that's why Jesus made this statement, and I think that's why it's recorded in all three Gospels that he is not going to drink wine again until it happens again in his kingdom. And then the other aspect about communion that we see here that's recorded in all three you might have thought it odd that I read all the way to the end, but it talks in all three Gospels about how Judas was at the table with them. And what was in my heart in reading that was the fact that in partaking of this communion today, the goal is not to tick the box and say, I took communion. I did it. I fulfilled the commandment and the instruction. The goal is to testify that I am remembering that Jesus died for me, that his body was broken and his blood was poured out. And what's more, I'm taking that onto the inside of me. I think that's why Jesus instructed it to be eaten and drunk. We know from elsewhere that Jesus said there is no spiritual wonder in eating and drinking something, because Jesus himself says it goes into the stomach and it's eliminated. But what is it symbolizing? I believe it's symbolizing getting Jesus on the inside of us, that it's actually becoming something we partake of. It is nourishment to us. It is drink to us what Jesus has done. And we're testifying to that by partaking of the communion. But Judas also partook of that communion. And his heart was so calloused. It's amazing. I was reading about how Jesus identified who his betrayer would be. And it says, the one who is dipping his hand in the bowl with me. And I was just reflecting on that, going like, what did that look like? And I was just thinking, if you and I were sitting at a table together and we had a custom of dipping bread in some oil or maybe some balsamic vinegar, I don't know exactly what was in there, but if we had this custom, like if you and I were doing it and I had my hand in there, like what, like, you'd have to be a pretty close friend of mine to like stick your hand in there where my hand is in there. Like our hands are almost touching in the bowl. If it happened today, we'd probably have a look at each other and laugh a little bit. Like, haha, like, look at that. Like, but it's close fellowship. It's wonderful. Like it seems like as I'm reflecting on it this way, it seemed like a nice image to me. But the one doing that had been so deceived by sin that he could do that. He could have that kind of fellowship while also having purposed in his heart to betray Jesus for money. And I was like, man, that's sobering. That's sobering. And I say this, I don't share this to bring a heavy, but in communion, if you read it in 1 Corinthians 11, there's a twofold aspect to it. It's to remember Jesus, and Paul warns them, like, to do it right. To do it right, and it's not in the physical administration of how you do it. It's in the searching of your heart and judging yourself. That's what Paul says. He says, listen, when you partake of communion, judge yourself. Look inside and say, am what I'm doing, is it true? Is it real in me? Not am I perfect. Not am I without sin. But just, where is my heart at? Where is my heart at? Is this a sincere thing for me? Is this a sincere thing that I'm going to, because it's a public act. We're doing it publicly. We're doing it with one another. We can see one another partaking. And my goal in saying this is not to, well, look around and say, oh, good, I'm glad I see people not partaking today because they must be sobered. No, my goal is just to say, let's be sincere. Let's be sincere. And if the Lord is speaking to our hearts through this, if it's sobering and prompting us, I can tell you myself, I was driving yesterday and reflecting on some things, and the Lord brought some things to mind. I was like, man, yeah, Lord, like, clean that up in my heart. I want that out of my heart. I don't like that that's there. And I hadn't seen it. I was like, man, that's kind of sobering that after all these years, that's still in there. But to me, that's good. To me, that's getting ready for communion. And I wasn't doing it because of that, but that's what he wants. He's looking that just as we partake of this, we would do that. We would be sincere. And if the Lord is speaking to your heart, then we'd say, God, I want to get that, make that right. I want to see change. Help me in this area and judge ourselves rightly. Because he says we do that, and judgment comes to the church so that we'll be ready when he comes and not be judged with the world. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 11, and that's the twofold aspect of it. Remembering and looking internally and letting God and the Holy Spirit shine in our hearts. And if there's things there, to let it be judged, but judged in a good sense, that we're going to deal with it. So that's what I wanted to share today. I think both those things are an element of why Jesus commanded this. He commanded it to his disciples, and what's more, it was something he revealed to Paul. Paul himself, if you read in 1 Corinthians 11, he didn't say, Peter and Matthew, who were there, taught me this. He said, Jesus Christ taught me this. Jesus Christ taught me about communion. That's Paul's testimony. And so I think it helps us to see the priority of these things, and it also, we look at what he taught him. And I already shared that, so I won't repeat it, but I just, hopefully the Lord can bring these and speak to our hearts through this. Because my prayer, even before we started today, my prayer was like, God, help communion. Help it to be serving some of that purpose for which you instituted it. We don't want to do a ritual. We don't want to have a dead, meaningless ritual. He did it for a purpose. And when we partake of it, I hope our prayer, my prayer is like, Lord, fulfill that purpose. Like, why did you instruct it? Why did you tell your disciples to do this? Why did you reveal it to Paul that this is something important? Make it real in us. Like, let it serve that purpose in us, Father. So I think Greg and Harry are going to help me help by handing out. We'll just do it at the same time, the bread and the juice. And then as you've received it, just take a moment to reflect. You can, I think Jason may play a song. We can sing and praise the Lord, or you can just take a moment and reflect and let God speak to our hearts. But we want to do this in remembrance of him and let it serve its purpose in our lives for what Jesus intended.